This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Guys, we saw this yesterday regarding, we were making a comparison about how the Cowboys run their business. The great problem they have before them right now is how do we keep all the talent that we drafted? We have awesome talent that we've drafted, and now it's time to pay all these guys or make the decision. Nope, screw that. We're just going to keep moving on. One of the things KT said the other night was the other day was the Patriots. What they do is they have a pass rusher. They say, all right, we're going to get this guy up and we'll trade him off. We're going to pay our secondary players. We're going to pay cornerbacks. Those are the guys that they like to pay. Is cornerbacks and safeties and stuff. They don't like to pay defensive ends. Money's too much. So the Cowboys, here they are with a situation where they got Byron, they got Tank, they got all this going on, and these are superstars. Tank is a superstar. You love Tank, right?
Yes.
So you want to sign him. But the Cowboys can't pull the trigger on that because the Cowboys aren't the type of team that can do the same thing, to run the business model that the New England Patriots run. They don't have the coach that can execute the X's and O's the way that Bill Belichick does. So they can't do that. But if they could, and they said, no, we're moving on. Somebody texted in yesterday and said, if they ran that business model, I would be out as a fan. 877-881-1053. Do you agree or no?
No.
That's insane, right?
I most definitely do not agree. I have to admit, though, Corey, I'm a little surprised you're not on board with this.
Okay.
Because you're usually more emotionally invested than I am. You know, I'm emotionally stunted.
Tony's my guy. You know, I've watched Tony grow. Dirk's my guy. I've watched Dirk grow. I want my guys to win.
And quite frankly, if you told me you could trade somebody and it will result in a championship, I'm like, all right, let's do that. Like, I cheer for the team and the city, not always the players. I mean, I'll readily admit, Would it have been more important, or would it have felt like maybe a little bit better if you would have won the Super Bowl with Romo? Okay, fair enough. I get it. But, you know, I can live without that if it just means winning a Super Bowl. So if doing that and constantly turning over your roster, constantly making cutthroat decisions because it constantly keeps you in competition, that's
every year.
Fine.
Every year.
Absolutely.
You're right there in most of the time in the Super Bowl, but more often than not, you are right there in the mix of whatever the competition is going to be. Now, also think about this. They have the quarterback. Like that's the quarterback. Not everybody gets to find that guy and say, we're just going to hitch our saddle to him for the next 12, 13, 14 years, 20 years, however long it's going to be for his career. Not everybody gets that opportunity, but every other piece around him has moved. Every other piece has been, oh, no, well, we can move on from that guy. Everything else has been moved, and they stick with it. So the Cowboys, can they make the decision that Dak is their Tom Brady? And he can make all the throws, and he can make all the decisions, and every other piece around him can move? I don't think that they believe that yet.
Well, for the record, and I would trade Dak in a heartbeat if the same held true. Like if somehow your magic predictor machine could tell me you'll be in the next three NFC championship games if you trade Dak right now, done. I would do it in a heartbeat because, again, I cheer for the team and for the city because this is my city. This is my team. This is where I grew up more than the players. Like, I get it. Like, when everyone says they love Tony Romo, I understand that. When everybody says they love Adrian Beltre, I understand that. For whatever reason, Dirk feels just a little bit different, probably because he's been here since the very beginning and he's achieved unbelievable things while the other players don't fit that bill. And so he's a little bit different. But the rest of them, like, I've been a fan of the Rangers, the Cowboys, the Mavericks, the Stars, long before any of these people came along. And I'll be fans of them long after they're gone. So that's why I'm fine with it.
From the 972. No, I don't want the business model of the New England Patriots. Attrition is part of sports. I like to know the players I root for. Listen, if I want the success. I want to walk into work after every Cowboys game and at the end of the playoff season and be so pumped up and fired up about winning a Super Bowl and the fact that my team only cares about going and winning another one. That's what I want.
Right.
We come in here. What have we been doing for the last, we've been on air for 7 years now?
Yep.
The last 7 years, we've walked in here and we've got gut punched by whatever happened in the season.
Thanks a lot, Tim.
Yeah.
You meant metaphorically. Yeah, gotcha. My mistake.
The season, the playoff season, whatever, it always feels like this huge gut punch. I just want that feeling of awesome. And if you had that type of model where they're just like, we can do whatever. We have all the things we need to execute it. And we don't care. We are cutthroat because the psychological part of the process, they're fine with it. They don't care.
The Patriots model is something that the Dallas Cowboys right now cannot in any way, shape, or form try to copy. They cannot do that. And the main reason is the reason why they chose that particular position to be that's where they're going to not spend money at and just keep drafting and putting kids out there and letting to see what happened is because Bill Belichick knows how to coach a defense.
Yeah. No, you're right. And that's amazing. Like, how does nobody else know how to coach a defense without the greatest defensive ends?
I don't know. I can't tell you, but I know he can. He finds a way. He schemes a way. Whether he's cheating and watching practices or whatever you want to say he's doing something to where he knows how to go up against an offense, and he knows I need people that can cover, and I can find and scheme a way to get to the quarterback. That's what he does. And so if you want to be able to copy that, you're going to have a mainstay defensive genius here with the Dallas Cowboys. If you don't have that, then you can't do that.
Okay, but let's say all of those things magically fell into place. Let's put that argument aside. Because
okay.
I certainly understand the logic that just because the Cowboys do it like the Patriots doesn't mean it'll turn out the Patriots. Sure, I totally get that. Let's say all of those other pieces are magically somehow into place. Then the idea is you're constantly churning the roster. You're constantly losing those players that you know, those players that you maybe care about. Does that impact your fandom if you're at least in the mix? Like, let's just use my scenario, for example. Over the next 10 years, Cowboys are in the NFC Championship 5 times, make it to 3 Super Bowls. But they are sending people away all the time. Zeke, gone. Dak, gone. LVE, gone. Like, all the players you care about, they end up leaving at some point or another because the Cowboys have to make some ruthless decisions. But that's the outcome. Does that impact your enjoyment? Really?
It does. It completely does. Because I used to watch college basketball, Kevin. I used to.
Big night.
And I used to enjoy watching college basketball, even when it wasn't March Madness time. All of a sudden now, instead of being able to see players and watch them grow, they've left for the NBA, and everybody on whatever team is like a new person to me, and I got to learn somebody new every single year. And if you're telling me that's how we're going to run the football, I admittedly, it's not going to affect me as much to where I'll stop watching it, but it will affect me.
You know, and that's really weird to me too, Kevin, that you, with all the OCD things you have in your life, the way you super glue your Lego sets down to the table and
no
all that.
No Craggle just yet. I've thought about it, though.
But the way you are, you're the type of person that I feel like you would want things to be a certain way. I finally got them exactly the way I want them for the next 20 years. Let's keep all these players on the team. Now, obviously, if it's not giving you the championships, then it's not worth it.
Right.
And somebody asked this from the 940, a fan that wants names over championships, is that a fan? That is a very intriguing question because I think there are different types of fans.
There's no question about
we
that.
We fell in love with the triplets. We fell in love with that team. Now, they were winning, so obviously we loved them. But when they weren't winning, we still loved them because we decided those were our guys. Michael Irvin's my guy. Emmitt Smith, now that he already won the championship, now I want him to go get this this other individual award. I want him to be the all-time leading rusher. I want Troy Aikman to become a Hall of Fame quarterback. I want to be able to claim that as one of my guys. So I do think if Dirk had never won a championship, I'm still a fan of Dirk. So, yeah, I think there is a capability of being a fan without ever winning a championship and being a real fan. Like, every year is a new year. Every year is a new year for attempting to win that championship, and some pieces are going to move. Some pieces are going to go. But you, a lot of people, they buy in. They fall. My kid's librarian fell in love with Adrian Beltre. Just loved him. Like, it has a whole wall of Adrian Beltre stuff. I don't know if she's going to be a Rangers fan this year because there's no Adrian Beltre.
And I do get that, and I'm not here to tell people that they have to fan.
Don't tell me how to fan.
I absolutely just said I'm not here to tell you that. You can
fan. Yes, we are. Turn it on, leave it on.
You can fan however you like. I'm just telling you guys, me personally, given the option, that's the direction that I would go. Like, if you told me 2 years ago you had to send Adrian Beltre away when he was at 2,998 hits, but it would result in you making the World Series in a heartbeat, I wouldn't even think about it.
Oh, no. And the question when you posed it to me is, would it affect me? Yes.
And that's
yes,
fair.
Yes, it would affect me. Now, would I choose the championships over the players? Yes. Yes, I would.
But it wouldn't be the same even if you got the outcome that you wanted.
I would be happy, but, you know, you'd be super happy running around. But the problem would be that whoever's jersey I'd purchased is no longer on the team. How many times do you think about that?
Mm.
When you go to purchase a Cowboys jersey, when you go in there and you're at the shop or wherever you're at.
I want that player to retire with that jersey on.
You want to make sure, because like I was picking jerseys a couple of years ago, and I was like, should I pick Dak or Zeke? And I was like, well, I better pick Dak because of the way the Cowboys treat running backs. Zeke may not be here for a while. I think Dak will. So I went ahead and went with a number 4 jersey at that point, because I was thinking ahead to how long will this jersey last and before I have to buy another one.
Mm-hmm.
And the same, because I've got a Marion Barber III jersey still in the back of my closet somewhere.
Yeah.
And no, that doesn't get worn anymore.
Mm-mm.
Just doesn't, because game day, it's that. I was the attachment of players.
Now, and that's the other thing too, though, is Jerry's been one to get attached.
Absolutely.
Jerry, and Steven's changed his mindset on this, and I'm interested to know where he got his philosophy on it. Was it watching Jerry fall in love with players and do bad contracts, and there he is, the one that's responsible for the salary cap, and he's like, God, Jerry, you screwed us over so many times by making these decisions? Or was it some of the tutoring he got from Bill Parcells and some other people he's worked with while he's been working in the NFL? I wonder where Steven's philosophy came from, and if it will truly change whenever Jerry steps aside, or if there will always be, no, we're always going to want, because Jerry believes that stars put people in seats. That's why he loved Romo. He believed that people came just to watch Romo. People will come in droves just to see this magic elixir grow hair on my head. You know, that's exactly what it's the showman that Jerry Jones still is, that he believes that the stars still are a reason for fans to show up. And if you don't have those stars, you have nothing. But I think he also lets Steven have that other portion of it, that's the gears and the mechanisms that work.
Because my argument would always be, stars can be made through strictly winning.
Yes.
And like, I understand that
logic.
Do
you think that his success so early as the owner maybe didn't really, that didn't set in and register with him? Because he was like, I have the stars.
Yes.
In his career, he already had the stars because they were winning.
Yeah, and it was almost the curse of the early Antoine Jameson three-pointer, where it went in straight away, and then you knew that you were doomed to a 5-for-21 night because he was going to chuck up three-pointers all night. It's the same thing with Jerry. Like, seriously, how long, even with the invention of the salary cap, how long did it take for him to adapt? Like, at least 10 years, right? And even then, it's not a total adaptation until, like Corey was saying, he kind of seeded the way to Steven Jones a little bit. And then you feel like then Steven is there for the rest of it. And he's like, hey, here's how you need to keep adapting. I know it's going to be tough, but we have to keep moving in this direction. And so I kind of hope you get the hybrid style from Steven, where, you know, you're okay with keeping a DeMarcus Lawrence, or you're okay with keeping a big name player here and there because they really need to stay. But otherwise, you're fine with churning the roster necessarily, because you don't pay for past performance. You pay for future performance. And if you have players, I don't care how lauded they are in the history of the franchise, coming to the table saying, well, what about all this stuff I did out? I don't want that player on this team because that is not how you're going to keep a successful franchise.
No, you're right. And if you actually wanted to try and do something in which you were able to do kind of the Patriot system with this current Dallas Cowboys system, it would be to keep Tank. Because what you have, hopefully you have, is the guy over the DBs that can put them in position, and you've realized that you're able to find that guy faster than you can find a war daddy. So it's probably, in my eyes, if you were going to copy the Patriot system, it would be keeping Tank and letting Byron go.
Ooh, and letting Byron go and then adding Earl Thomas in that mix too?
You could do that, or just keep looking in the draft for that fifth, sixth round DB that you can make work.
Keep grabbing players. Just keep adding talent to the pool that are minimum wage players that can play at a high level at certain positions. And you got to figure out what your balance is, what your defensive coordinator gets the best out of, because Bill Belichick gets the best out of everything, right? Like he ended up running like a 6-2 offense or defense against the Rams during the Super Bowl. It was something. He was like, I got all these fast guys, but we got to chase down a bunch of fast guys. So let's throw those guys out on the field this time and see how that works out. Well, we'll scheme something new for it. And it worked out perfectly for him.
I think this is the perfect way to describe it. From the 214, I love the players, and when they get cut, I think it's a problem, but winning solves all problems.
From the 480, if there was anything the movie Major League taught us, it's that fans will come from winning and stars can be made from winning, just like you said.
Yeah, and Colby, I don't dispute anything that you're saying, because like I said, I'm not here to tell people how to fan. I do wonder, though.
Don't tell me how to fan.
I, again, will not tell you how to fan.
Turn it on, leave it on. That's how you fan. I don't understand.
Really good point.
Yeah. Wonder if on the run-up to the Super Bowl, all of those like negative feelings or whatever would kind of fade away. You know, like, would you be like, oh, man, I can't believe we got rid of Dak and Zeke. And then, like, hey, we won the NFC Championship. And you're like, yeah, who did we get rid of again? Like, I do kind of wonder how that would go along.
And you could just always do the Antonio Bryant, Des Bryant thing. Just draft players that have the same last name and tell them this is the jersey they're going to wear. So whoever wants to buy a jersey doesn't really have to buy a new jersey. They can just keep it.
That's a good point.
So... Jeff, KT brought us. If there's Prescott's, Elliott's, Cooper's in the draft, let us know. We'll get working on that. We're the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next.
I know the Patriots don't pay defensive linemen. That's what it's talking about.
Tell me how to fan.
Sometimes a fan text makes me mad.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.